All right. Good morning, everyone. It is such a wonderful time to be here, and I want to thank everyone for being here. You know, one of the things that I thought of as I was coming up is really what would I talk about if I had my whole family here and wanted to just talk to them about something important. And one of the things that came up is really, I thought about, you know, my relationship with God. A relationship with God is the most important thing that I can pretty much talk to them about that really means so much more than anything there is. Let's turn your Bible to Matthew 22, verse 37. My goal today as we leave here today is really hope that you will be inspired and be motivated to come out and be moved to action. And that's what I'm hoping and pray that will be the goal today. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for such opportunities such as this so we can listen to your words. And I pray that you help each and every heart to come out today to really wanting to understand where they are with you and wanting to improve on their relationship with you. Father, I thank you for this privilege, and I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. What makes that relationship, makes up our relationship with God? You know, we all in different places in our relationship with God. But, you know, when we look at it, let's look at Matthew 22, verse 37. Verse 37, Jesus replied, "Love your Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself." That was really answering a question response to a question that they had for him. And he told them, this is the most important thing for you, for us to love God with all our hearts, with all our mind, and with all our soul. And in another passage, we look at Jeremiah and the people of God. God pretty much talked through Jeremiah and said, "For I know the plans I have for you." And verse 11, declare the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope in a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. So what does that mean to be in a relationship with God? And to me, it means really making sure that I change my mindset and looking at putting God as the priority, being in constant communication with God, being in a place where God is not taking the back seat. And, you know, really just getting people in my life. I was baptized back in 1993. And 5 years later, 98, I left the church. And then back over in 2012, 5 years ago, I came back, was restored here in this church. So relationship with God back then, it was not where I wanted it to be or where it shouldn't have been. So it came up where it came up empty. I was not where I should have been, cherishing the time with God, making prayer a daily part of my life, making it important to get in God's Word, and also having the issues of day-to-day issues that I pretty much allowed to just build up to a point where I got angry with God. I was angry with God. It was not pretty. And I'm glad that God had his mercy on me, and or else I would not be here to be able to just talk to you and say what it means. You know, I tell you, how does it feel to be in love? You know, falling in love with God, really looking at the things that God have done for me and saying, you know what? Wow, this is amazing. Not because I deserve it, but because of his mercy. Looking at, I'm from Haiti. To be able to just be here in this country means a lot. I looked at my home where I lived back then as a teenager before I came here, and looking at the things that he does for me. to come to know God, to come to understand what Jesus have done for me is more than what a lot of people can say based on just his mercy. So having that relationship with God means a lot. It means that I need to live a life that's godly and righteous. I'm now dating. I have a beautiful girlfriend who's here, and I thank God for that. But, you know, having that relationship with God really means that I get to live out and be in a light in this world. Having to just go and have a godly dating relationship, one that's pure, one that there's not a hint of sexual immorality. And it means a lot. And I have to really help people to understand, no, we're doing dating a godly way. And it means a lot. What does that mean to you as far as having that relationship with God? Pray continuously. You know, take advantage of that. Love is a decision. To be able to just say that, you know what, with all the distraction that I have, that I'm going to take time and pray. Take time and talk to God. Take time and with my worries and just bring that to God. It means that we just not just thinking about ourselves, but more than that. You know, I know that what it means to just like getting ready, get fired up and just say, I'm going on a date and this and that, you know. In the same way, when you are in love in a relationship with someone, that you put that extra effort. Where are you as far as on your effort to get up in the morning, say, I'm going to read my Bible? Trust me, it's not always easy for me. I'm out there and I'm saying, you know what? Nope, I need to deny myself and say, you know, and let me just get focused to say what exactly do I want to study? What does God put in my heart to study out and to pray to him about? But God does not, you know, he does not promise us that everything's going to be perfect whenever we decide to just have that relationship with him also. So that's really one of the things that I wanted to just really look at. Some of the examples of David, King David, he was pretty much named a man after God's own heart. He had a great relationship with God. I look at Psalm 42, verse 1 through 4. David was one of those guys that as I read some of the Psalms and I'm like, wow, how exactly is he just like going out there and talking to God and sharing or just expressing his feelings toward God like this? I'm like, you know, God is God. He shouldn't be, you know, but that's just the type of relationship they had. But on verse 40 of Psalm 41, verse 1 through 4, as deer pants for a stream of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My God, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I poured out my soul, how I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One with shouts and joy, praises among the festival thorn. And on Psalm 63, I have a few more to share with you guys. Okay, on Psalm 63, verse 1. You are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you. In a dry and parched land where there is no water, I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. In your name, I will lift up my hands. I will be fully satisfied with the richest food. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. On my bed, I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night. You know, you think about just someone who's in love with God and just really can't wait to just get in there and talk to him. Or where am I? I have to look at that each and every day. Where am I? Where are you? How is your relationship with God? Are you just in there just saying, hey, listen, I need to spend that time with God? Or are you just busy on letting day-to-day things just drag you away? Are you more into Netflix? or get distracted by just a video game all day long. There's a lot of things that just can pull us away. I know that I can get busy just doing my own things, been busy at work, or just I can go on Facebook and spend an hour there just by looking at different things from one thing to another. And then where's my time with God? Does it match that with how it is? Some of these psalms that I'm sharing with you there, those are some of my comfort food when it comes to spiritual and trying to really looking at David's heart and looked at exactly how exactly that he loved God, how he yearned for God. On Psalm 73, verse 25, it says, "Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fall, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." On verse 28, it says, "But as for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge. I tell of your deed." You know, I look at that and just like, wow, that's why this is circled in my Bible. I have all these comfort food to just rely back on. A lot of time that I'm like, okay, what do I study today? What do I want to hear from God today? I go back to those and just really, I have bummed out moments. I go back to that and pray. There's some times that I have some hard times. And as I share these with you and I think about when my father passed away, it was a very, very tough time in my life. And I was not part of the church. One of the things that I thought of is the fact that if I had anything that I could do differently, is that I wish that I could really had helped him to be right with God. And what would I share with my family? I would share, hey, it's important while we here on this, while we breathing, it's important to be right with God. It's important to have that relationship. It's not about the, I'm going to this church or that church, but are you in the right place that's going to help you to get there? I did say that we all in a different place in our relationship with God. Okay, am I praying for my family? Am I praying for those that I love? Reaching out to my neighbors, the co-workers. You know, there are two things that I talk to people about. Invite them to church and trying to see if I can sell them a house. It's true. They know me for that. What do they know you for? What are you known for? And it's not about just reaching out to people, because I could reach out to people and just, what am I giving them? Am I helping them to have that relationship with God? And that's what I'm hoping that you look at and just say, you know what? What am I offering them? You know, just like we have a relationship with our human friends and girlfriends, boyfriends, we want to make sure that that relationship with God, the one that's more important than anything in the world, means something. So what makes it possible? Let's go to John 3. What makes that relationship possible? We'll look at two verses and see exactly. John 3, verse 16. So we all know this, okay? "For God so loved the world that he gave his own one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Yes, a lot of people take this verse and they run with it and just say, okay, well, we just like pray to Jesus in your heart. That's just the beginning. It tells you about God's love for us. Because he loves us, he allows us to have that privilege, to have that relationship with him. Let's go to Isaiah 53, verse 4. You know, relationships is a two-way street. It's a give and take. Jesus, God, they did their part. And their part is this. Isaiah 53, verse 4. "Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet We considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgression. He was crushed for our iniquity. The punishment that brought us near was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own ways. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Verse 7, he was opposed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to be slaughtered, and as a sheep before its shears is silent, so he did not open his mouth. Verse 10, yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. Though the Lord made his life an offering for sin, he will see his offering and prolong his days. And the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. You know, you look at this, I really understood this. I understand this passage more because as a parent, have my own kids, to think about that I'm just going to take my son or daughter and just hand him over to be crucified, to suffer for you and me, to suffer for each and everyone who may not take this serious at all, who may just think it's funny. You know, I don't believe in this. And it's really so important to just really look at ourselves and just say, you know, what is my part on this? God did his, which was the most difficult. It was the most difficult. But what is my part? Do I have a what have I done for me lately attitude? And sometimes it is. Sometimes I'm, you know, it's so easy to just like say, we've had the relationship and, you know, things are going well, and then take that for granted. If you've been a disciple for so long, you know, back 1998, somewhere along the way, I drifted away and ended up where there's a big wall in my heart. It was hardened. Where are you? You examine yourself. You look at to see exactly how are you doing. Sunday mornings are good to come to church. Not saying at all that it's not good. It's good. It's encouraging. It's why I hear rain, snow, whatever it takes. As long as that building is open, I'm going to be here. It's great to have your fellowships. But the most important thing is, what are you doing on your own time? What am I doing in my own time? When I'm all by myself, am I reading the Bible? Am I praying to God? Am I getting with the brothers or some of the sisters, getting with your sister? And really just talk about life, what's bothering you, things that needs to come out. And have a few brothers that's definitely, I think they run away whenever they see me. They say, he's coming. it's time to run away. But, you know, we need to have those people in our lives to be able to just say, hey, this is what's going on with me. And not have an attitude of, I'm just going to live this. Because when we don't really nurture that, it becomes something that it's meaningless. And we don't want that. Our relationship with God needs to be something that's very important. So relationship with God is also, it's a privilege. It really is. It's a privilege to have a relationship with God. And a reason why I say that, you know, I tell you, you and I get to be able to just come in front of and approach God's throne each and every day that we want. We do. We get that. Now, I would like to say that make an appointment to try to talk to the president and see how that goes. I've had the privilege to go over to the White House back in 2012. And it was a privilege. I was able to just get in there. The reason why I say that, because they told me less than 2% of people who applies to be able to just get in there, only less than 2% get in. So it's not something that, although I went there, wasn't able to see him, but God, we can approach his throne each and every day that we really want. How do we do that? All right, let's look at John 17, verse 6. And part of this is really a prayer showing Jesus what he thought of us. And I say it's a privilege. It's not just, it is a privilege. God allows us to be able to have that relationship with him. But do I have anything to do with it at all? I didn't. It might have been prayers that my grandmother or mother have prayed for me long, long time ago, and God listened, and, you know, he says that we are chosen. On verse 6, on John 17, and Jesus was praying to God, and he says, I have revealed to you, to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me. They have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me come from you. For I give them the word you gave me, and they accept them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believe that you sent me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. And over on 1 Peter 2, verse 9, he tells us that you are a chosen people. It's a privilege to be able to just say that I have a relationship with God. I have the privilege to have a relationship with God, or had the foundation to be able to just say, I believe that through Jesus Christ that I am saved. When I do my part, when I leave my sinful way of life and decide that I'm going to do what I need to. But how are we doing with our relationship with God? I believe it's like a garden. You go out there, you plant something. Yes, you get the ground ready, things like that, but you plant it. What else that takes place? What else do I do afterward? If I do nothing else, that flower will probably grow, but along with all the weeds and everything else that's in there, is it going to be looking pretty? Not at all. Or it might just get choked out. Do I fertilize it? Do I water it? So how is it with my relationship with God? The same way. What am I doing each and every day? Am I excited about it just like I'm excited about calling my girlfriend early morning? Are you excited about it just like, you know, calling or texting someone? That's it is that important to just really think about just getting into the habits, or at least forming the right habit, getting your heart right, getting my heart right. I know that, you know, as I'm talking about, I just bring dating a lot in, right? But when we're dating, or at least you go on our date, you know, I'm sure Robert goes and open that door and making sure that it's, you know, ready to go. But later on, how is it? Do we get away from that? Is it one of those that after the marriage and hardly she walks to her side, she opened her own door, and you know, and it's almost like forgetting all about that. We gotta make sure that we do our part. And a relationship with God is the same way. Unless we continuously making it intentional, it's not gonna be right. Why exactly do we need to make it intentional? We are in a spiritual battle. We are. We may think about it any way that we really want. Satan does not want you and I to have a relationship with God. If there's anything at all, he wants us to do our own thing, to God to be the last thing that we have on our mind. We have a whole bunch of different things that we can be busy doing. You know, from work to just a number of things. We have, nowadays, we have things that, countless of things for us to be busy doing. But what we need to definitely make sure, and what I have to definitely make sure, is really going back to what exactly do I want at the end of my life? What do I want for my kids? What do I want for my family? To have an amazing relationship with God at the end, because he did his part. He suffered. He allowed his son to go on the cross. He allowed him to be crushed for me. He allowed him to be just become nothing, the king of the world, of the universe, to become nothing, and just for me, so I can be able to be connected with God. So having said all that, I hope you're fired up as far as really looking at your relationship and just say, you know what, I want my relationship with God to be different. I want to walk away from here that if nothing else that I hear, that as a teenager, you know, it's just as important to you that you just come away with saying, you know what, where can I go from here? What can I do differently? Maybe I need to spend more time praying. Maybe I need to pray with a partner. But whatever it takes for you, that's what I'm hoping that you come away with, to just make sure, re-examine your heart, to just let God use you the very best you can. Thank you very much. May God bless you.